Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, February 9th, 2014, in case you were wondering. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and of course, with me today, producer Mike Roy. How are you?
Good, and I was wondering too until you said it.
Well, you know, when it's the beginning of the year, sometimes you forget. You want to put the wrong date down, you know, it happens.
Yeah, and especially with all this schizophrenic weather we've been having, we don't know what season it is.
It could be like, it could still be 2012. We don't know. As always, you can call us here in the studio. The number here, 404-231-1190. You can tweet your comments directly to me at Dana H. Barrett or with the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. We have so much to talk about today. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, it's the Olympics. The Olympics have officially begun. Yay. I've said before, as Mike said to me before we went on the air, that I'm not a sports person, but I really do enjoy the Olympics. It's I like sort of watching all the different sports that you don't see very often. We were watching the men's, what is it called, the biathlon, the one where they ski and shoot. You know that one? The one where they ski and shoot guns? Yeah, Mike's looking at me
biathlon.
Like, yeah, biathlon.
Yeah.
He's like, huh? Oh, he's busy doing something else. Whatever. Anyway, so we were watching that. I mean, there's just some interesting sports and that you don't think about except for during the Olympics, unless you're, of course, competing in those sports, and then you probably think about them all the time. But, of course, because this is a business station and a business show, we'll talk a little bit more as we progress into the show about sort of the business of the Olympics and the business of being an Olympic athlete, because it is business. It is, you know, I hate to say it, but everything sort of comes down to money at the end of the day. I mean, we hope that's not what it's all about. And actually, that's something else we're going to talk about today, too. Some interesting headlines in the national business scene with CVS saying that they will be no longer selling cigarettes in the near future, sometime during 2014. I didn't pay attention to the exact date that is going to leave their stores. But, you know, that's a decision that goes beyond money because they're going to lose something like $2 billion by making that decision. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Of course, we have some local headlines. Also, we have to talk about AOL a little bit. I don't know if you caught their CEO making some gaffes over the last week. We'll talk about that. Radio Shack, some changes over there. But first, let's do some local headlines because that's what we're here for, to catch you up on what you missed here in Atlanta. So, just last week, I think it was after we went off the air, producer Mike Roy said to me, this may have been 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, we don't really hear much about the Falcon Stadium anymore. We hear all about the Brave Stadium. And just because he said that, the Falcon Stadium is back in the headlines. Apparently, there is some concern over the plan to realign MLK Drive. And the concern is coming from the college presidents of the sort of, I think, what do they call them? Historically black colleges. I forget what the actual term is. But Spelman, Morehouse, I think, whatever. They're sort of all located over in that area. Clark Atlanta, I think, is over there also. So there, it's Morehouse Medical or Law School. I don't have the story exactly straight. But anyway, four college presidents got together and wrote a letter to Arthur Blank saying, hey, we don't like this. You're realigning MLK Drive in such a way that it's going to hurt our part of town. And the whole idea was to help the community. You're not doing that with this plan. So it'll be interesting to see if changes are made to accommodate their wishes. I think it's an important point because part of the reason that they claimed, anyway, to be putting the stadium there, well, not the reason to put it there, but part of the reason, or part of the project, I guess, is to revitalize the area so that they don't want, not to cut off certain areas and make them even harder hit, but to revitalize. And so if the plans aren't doing that, and here's the problem, I don't know that area of town well enough to really say. I'd have to go drive it because I don't really understand exactly what is connected to what and where. And I looked at a map and it still didn't make entire sense to me. So, because I don't hang out down there. You know, I guess if you're a regular sports goer, you probably see those areas of town more as you're driving around getting in and out of the current sporting venues. But anyway, Falcon Stadium back in the headlines. Gotta love it. Also in the Atlanta headlines, there is a new office tower that is supposed to go up off of Stratford Road. It is going to be the first new office tower potentially built without a tenant already signed on. So it's speculative. They're building it because they believe that the Atlanta business market is coming up so much that we're going to need all this extra office space. And it's a big deal, I think, as statements go for what's happening in our economy. Easy for me to say. They're basing the decision on the fact that we have added quite a bit of jobs. I think 67,000 new jobs in the metro region last year. So I may have that number wrong, or I may have the time period wrong, because I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. It doesn't always work that well. But anyway, the bottom line is, if you're familiar with that Stratford Road area in Buckhead, we've talked about it before because it's right where Dante's Down the Hatch was. So they took that down. They're putting up an apartment building where Dante's was. And now this third office building there's two office buildings back there now. They're putting in a third one. So they haven't said exactly when they're going to break ground, but I'm sure the people living over there are not excited about all the construction. However, in terms of what it means about the overall economy of the city, I think it's fairly positive. Amazon supposedly set to have a warehouse near Atlanta Airport, which will make us here in Atlanta able to get our stuff from Amazon even faster, which is cool. So Amazon has not commented on this story. I read the story in the Business Chronicle this week. Amazon doesn't comment or hasn't commented yet. They haven't officially announced it, but the story is pretty well verified, I think, so stay tuned for that. I love celebrity stories. I'm going to save this. I have a little celebrity story, but I'm going to save it. It's got an Atlanta tie-in. It's got like a current popular movie tie-in, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it because we have, as always, some great clips from businessradiox.com. And where, by the way, there's tons of great business radio shows happening all week long. And you can always go over there and take a listen to their latest stuff on businessradiox.com. This clip today is from a show called Silver Lining in the Cloud. It's hosted by Dominic Rainey and Nicole Toptish. And this week they had Shannon Russo, who is the CEO of Kinetics, on. Kinetics HR, excuse me. It's interesting. Shannon's talking in this clip about the manager-employee relationship, and she's referring back to managers as coaches, which I thought was sort of Olympic ready, if you will. So take a listen to this.
Coaching, it's interesting. So most of us played sports as we were growing up, and there were tons of coaches, and everybody loved the coaches, and everything was good with the coaches. The problem is, when you get into the workplace, somehow all of that goes out the window. And when you are needing to get a different behavior out of a teammate, you forget that your job as a manager is really to be that coach. And for whatever reason, the biggest being confrontation, which stinks. Everybody hates confrontation, right? And the other thing is, I think managers don't believe that they should prepare and practice to be able to coach their team members. And because of those things, people really struggle with it. And I'm talking from the lowest level, I'm a new manager, to somebody that's been managing for 20 years. They really struggle with that. And taking the right steps to do it. There's little things that people forget to do that remember your coach in high school or college that they did so well. I'll give you an example. You need to make positive deposits. So if you are going to coach the people that work for you on things you want them to change, you need to make deposits. And we would tell you it's a 3-to-1 ratio. So that means, Don, I need to tell you 3 great things that you're doing for every one thing that I'm telling you I need you to change. That sounds super simple, right? The problem is most people don't do it. And so they're not building up the trust of the deposits, of the catching people doing positive work. So that when they make the coaching, or when they want to make the coaching, they really struggle to do it.
All right, again, that was from Silver Lining in the Cloud this past week, and you can hear the whole thing at silverlining.businessradiox.com. I thought it was interesting because, first of all, I love the fact that, well, first of all, she said that most of us did sports when we were kids. I did not do team sports when I was a kid. I mean, I was a cheerleader, if that counts. I mean, I had a coach, so I guess it kind of counts, but it is an interesting way to think about business, because when you're an athlete and you have a coach, you're open to hearing negative stuff, and hopefully the coaches are doing what she's saying, giving you positive feedback as well. I mean, when you do well, they're patting you on the back, you're jumping up and down, there's celebration, you know, when the team does well, it's a good thing. But they're also happy to tell you that your form is bad, or you need to work on something or whatever. But in business, it's a very different mindset. You know, first of all, as the employee, we don't like to be criticized. We feel like, hey, I'm a grown up. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing my job. I don't need you to criticize me. And I think her point about managers not preparing or practicing their coaching skills is also really interesting, because managers think the same kind of thing. They think, well, you know what? Of course I know how to manage people. That's just a personality thing, and I'm good at it. Well, maybe they're really not as good as they think. And I love the idea of trying to remind yourself to give your employee, you know, three, you know, positive feedback type comments for every one negative one that you need to give. Because, and she calls them deposits. You're making deposits in the bank of goodwill. And, you know, obviously that's true for parenting. That's true, but it's also true in business. And when you have a boss that just gets on you all the time, or just never says anything, good or bad, that doesn't work either. If you're not, you know, if you just get nothing, I mean, how do you know if they appreciate what you're doing? It's an interesting topic, and it's one that I sort of like to talk about. I have a couple more examples on that topic that I want to talk about, but we'll do that after the break. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It is the Business Radio X Week in Review. You can call us here in the studio, 404-231-1190, or tweet us using the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. So before the break, we were talking about the idea of manager as coach and about giving positive feedback to your employees. And I want to tell you a story about some work I did this week, because I think it's relevant to this. Now, I'm a freelancer, so I do a bunch of different things. And one of the things I do, this officially, Mike Roy, would be a shameless self-promotion, is...
You never do those.
I never do that, never. I know. Well, I have a video production company called DB Media. And this week, I was doing a video shoot at an architecture firm here in town called Designing Charisma. And that's a shout-out to them, because it's a great place. I mean, they treat their employees incredibly well. It's like a family over there. There's a lot of... goodwill. You can see it. There's a lot of joking around, people bringing their kids in when they don't have anywhere to take them after, you know, they pick them up after school. There's kids around, you know, you can just tell it's a really family oriented place and a really customer service oriented place. But also, so here I go down there to do a video shoot for them with my assistant and my cameras and all this stuff. And I'm doing my job. I'm getting paid to do it. So let's not kid ourselves. They're paying me for a service. But at the end of the shoot, they came over to myself and my assistant, and they gave us each a bottle of champagne, and they gave me a handwritten card that they had obviously written during that afternoon while I was there. And every person in the firm wrote a little note to me saying how much they appreciated what I was doing and how great they thought I was and all that. And I'm not saying it because I think I'm great. Okay, whatever. But I'm telling you this because I have to say that that almost means more to me than the money. Like, that felt so good to me. That's why I do what I do. I did another video a couple of months ago for a breast cancer charity. I talked about it at the time. It was called, the charity's called Blow 'Em Up for Boobies. It's a skeet shooting event. And I did a video for them, and they were, and I did it for free because I'm a breast cancer survivor and I believe in that cause and all of that. But they also sent me an incredible thank you note and, you know, gave me a gift card. You know, they just were very appreciative and complimentary and thankful. And there's just something about that that I think we should all kind of remember how good it feels to be appreciated and try to appreciate the others that are, you know, that whose services we're using. You know, again, whether it's your employee, your manager, your friend, a wait person at a restaurant, whatever the case may be, being thanked and appreciated feels really good. And when you feel really good, you give better service. So if you're treating your employees that way, think about how much happier they're going to be coming to work. And if they're happier coming to work, they're going to treat your clients better, and they're going to do their job better, and they're going to be willing to stay there longer, and all those good things, right? So I think when stress sets in and you're trying to make budget numbers and you're trying to get the job done, you forget about that. And I almost want to make that like my weekly mantra, to remind people to be appreciative, because it really makes a huge difference. So anyway, enough about that. That's like the opposite of the soapbox. That's like waxing poetic. That's like, I'm just like being all happy and thankful and appreciative.
Yeah, it feels like we're doing a different show all
I know.
Of a sudden.
Are you like not sure who's sitting here?
Yeah, like what this have you done with Dana?
This is my evil nicer twin or something. Anyway, okay, so moving on, I thought that was an important topic to cover. I still, I teased you before the break with another headline, so I guess I'll just share that now. I mentioned that we had a little celebrity story that's sort of Atlanta related, and that is this. Do you remember, it's also Olympics related, so it really ties in. Do you remember back in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics when we had the little bomb scare here? Richard Jewell. Mike Roy said it without even...
Richard Jewell, in case you guys didn't hear me.
Richard Jewell, right. He didn't have his mic on, but he said Richard Jewell. And the thing is, it's sad for Richard Jewell because that's people remember that. And, I mean, that's almost 20 years ago. Yeah, it's 18 years ago now, right? So, listen to this. There's a new movie scheduled to be made about that time, about the 1996 Olympic Park bombing. And supposedly, it's going to be starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Jonah Hill. So Jonah Hill will be playing Richard Jewell, and Leo will be playing his attorney. So, of course, they were together in The Wolf of Wall Street, so they're like a new team. Don't you love when actors work together repeatedly? It's always,
oh, yeah.
It's fun.
You can't picture one without the other.
It's like buddies, you know? I like that. But anyway, so that's set to happen. I don't know where. I assume they're going to film at least some of it here. It would only make sense. Doesn't say that in the story, so I could be making that up. But it'll be interesting to see that because, you know, Richard Jewell was cleared by the FBI in that case. He, if you remember the story, he was the one who originally pointed out the suspicious bag or whatever it was, right? And then later he was accused of maybe being the bomber, but then he was cleared. But it doesn't matter. It's like the poor guy's reputation was ruined, you know? I mean, that we still remember his name to this day.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing is even though he was cleared, he's always going to be remembered in connection with it.
Right.
And even though he had nothing to do with
correct.
It.
Correct. Interesting. So he was trying to sort of be a good Samaritan. You know, maybe he was trying to get some attention. We don't really know what all of his motivations were, but the bottom line is it did not really work out in his favor. Though I would say having a movie made about you, and I bet you the movie's going to make him look good, not bad, I would think.
Posthumously, yes.
I would think. So, yeah. Anyway. Sad story. Anyway, there was a Vanity Fair article called The Ballad of Richard Jewell in 1997, and the movie is going to be based on that. Okay, moving on. So, we have more clips, of course, from BusinessRadioX.com, and while we're kind of on a positive spin over here on Week in Review, doesn't happen often, so we should embrace it. The next clip is from a show called Legacy Leaders. It's hosted by Jack Perry Jr., and this week he had also a guest host named Karen Cook. Their guest this week was Dennis Oliverio from the Wounded Warrior Project. So listen to this clip where Jack and Dennis are talking about the Wounded Warriors Project.
Sometimes our pride, ego, and that macho-ness that we get, that you're an independent warrior, and sometimes you don't want to look less than perfect or stellar or that
sure.
number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so why on earth would I show my cards to you when I'm hurt? And some people won't make a change, make that choice, until their back's against the wall where they don't have any other place to go.
No options.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And so it's great to have organizations such as the Wounded Warriors that will reach out to people. And then what I've learned through my business and what I do is that it's the ones that you don't see, that the stay-at-home guys that are hard to reach. How do you do that?
We, like I said, we have 17 offices around the country, opening up three more this year. We determine where the need is. It's not haphazardly done. It's not, hey, this looks like a great place. We actually, Wounded Warrior Project runs very much like a business. There's nothing that we go into without some serious thought.
All right. Again, that was the Legacy Leaders radio show. You can hear the rest of that interview at legacyleaders.businessradiox.com. And if you want to help out the Wounded Warrior Project, you can go to woundedwarriorproject.org. Interesting for two reasons. One, Dennis talks about the fact that the Wounded Warrior Project, which of course is a nonprofit, runs like a business. I think they all do at this point, and they all have to. Like it or not, that's the way it is. Also, I thought it was interesting that Jack was sort of talking about pride getting in the way of asking for help. And I think we can convert that you know, sort of human trait over to really anything, including business, it's hard to ask for help. I've always had trouble with that, you know, because especially in a work situation, if you're hired to do a certain job and you're expected to know how to do something, to sort of admit that you need help or you're not sure how to do it, or maybe, you know, you'd like some extra training or whatever, you're afraid that making that admission might make you look bad. So I think that translates to more than just, you know, people who are injured and suffering from, you know, post-traumatic stress or depression or whatever it is. I think it translates into the workplace. And think about somebody at the workplace who also may be suffering from some of those things, who maybe is a veteran who's come back into the workforce, who is struggling, but is, you know, they're taught to be, you know, stoic and not, and men too. I think men more than women. I don't like to be, you know, a sexist one way or the other, but I think, you know, men especially are taught to, like, not show their feelings, and, you know, crying is for babies and crying is for girls and all that kind of stuff. And so asking for help, admitting that you know, are in need, I think is really difficult. And another reason why, linking back to the first clip that we aired, if your manager really is your coach, they're invested in you as a whole person, not just as a producer of widgets. And they will hopefully be able to read you enough to help you ask for help, right? To help you ask them for help if you need it, right? So all good things to think about if you're in a managerial role. We've got a lot more to talk about. I know we're going to run out of time before I get to everything. I definitely want to talk about CVS dropping cigarettes. I definitely want to talk about AOL's latest nonsense. I've got some crazy more stuff about Atlanta to go over with you. And I have a little bit of soapbox this week. So a lot to do.
She hasn't completely turned soft.
Oh, heck no. Heck no. So a lot to talk about. And, you know, we're coming up on a break. I'm going to throw one in quickly before the break. Atlanta's still acting regionally. It looks like the governor and the mayor are coming up with separate plans to handle future snowstorms. So are we going to get past this, you know, individuals, little towns and cities thing and become a region, or are we going to keep doing all this crazy infighting? I don't know. We'll see. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more Atlanta headlines, more great stuff coming up right after this. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and Mike Roy is keeping me in line as usual. So before the break, we were talking about whether or not Atlanta is going to be able to pull together as a region, Metro Atlanta region. If you think about the name of MARTA, that is what the first three letters stand for, Metro Atlanta. So the governor and the mayor are drafting separate plans to deal with future storms. I don't have a huge problem with that, in the sense that the city does need to do different things than the state on the one hand. On the other hand, they need to be talking to each other and working together. So hopefully they are, and that headline was really just a headline and not what's really happening. Unclear.
That's why you don't headline, sir.
I know.
You said that many times.
I have said it many times, and I did read the stories, but the stories were pretty short. So I'm not, the actual proposals haven't been, you know, what they're proposing for future storms hasn't been released. So we'll see. I think this is one of those ones where it's like, okay, keep it out there in the back of your mind, because you know we're going to be talking about it a lot over the next several weeks, months, maybe even year. And we'll see what happens. And of course, what we'll really see what happens is the next time we get a snowstorm.
Which, according to the weather we just heard, might be in a few days.
And they won't be. I mean, in a few days, they won't have done enough. Right. I mean, hopefully they'll at least be on alert not to screw it up, but they won't have done enough. Also, in another just, you know, sort of semi-related note, we talked about the Falcon Stadium earlier. The Braves Stadium, you know, they're moving over to Cobb County, and they're moving to that area where 75 and 285 come together. And of course, there's no MARTA that goes there, because Cobb County has rejected MARTA. I don't even know if they ask them anymore, but they rejected it a long time ago. And there's like the Cobb County transit buses or whatever. And so I guess now they're considering some monorail type systems to link MARTA to the new stadium. I just still question, MARTA is not a City of Atlanta thing. It is a metro area thing. So shouldn't whatever they do be part of MARTA, I would think? I think it's going to be really annoying if there's like two separate payment systems and you got to get your Breeze card for MARTA and then you got to get something different to get on the Cobb monorail if they ever do it. I don't know. I'm just...
That's news to me. I didn't even know they were even considering building a monorail.
They're considering it. It hasn't been decided yet. They're looking at a couple of different technologies that cost quite a bit of money, mind you. So
would that be really just targeted for the Cobb County Braves or whatever they're going to be called?
Yes. The Atlanta / Cobb County Braves. Yes, it will be targeted for that stadium and the surrounding area, I assume. Whether or not it goes beyond that, I don't know. I think it's still kind of in the early stages. I don't think anything's really been designed, but... there is a local company that is that actually has that technology and that they're working with, I think. So I'll keep you posted as I learn more about it. But, I mean, I think it would be cool to have that technology. I mean, to, like, hop on a monorail, it would feel like you were at Disneyland. But really, you would just be riding through Cobb County, which would be kind of fun.
That's why it's interesting to me. I didn't know they were even considering it. And how far would it go? And if you already have MARTA, like, it just...
Yeah. Now, who knows?
Who knows exactly?
So you'll go on the Ferris wheel in downtown, and then you'll go out and ride the monorail in Cobb County. I don't know.
You're at Disney World in Atlanta.
That's right. And then Mickey, well, I don't know. I saw Saving Mr. Banks last night, so I have Disney on the brain a little bit.
Was it good?
It was good. And it was one of those movies, you know, we talked about this at home. It was, I mean, it's been, you know, critically acclaimed, and fans say go and whatever. But from the previews, it wasn't super compelling. Like, oh, okay, yeah. How Mary Poppins became a movie. Yeah, okay, whatever. But the truth is, it was a fantastic movie. The acting was phenomenal. The story was really interesting. And the fact that it's a true story is cool. I always like seeing the photos at the end of the real people, you know. So it was really well done. And it actually sort of ties into our show today because we're talking about things where, you know, business is for money. We all know that you go into business to make money, right? But there's more to it than that. I talked about that in terms of being thanked and appreciated for my work as a freelancer. We talked about it in terms of coaching your employees and giving them positive feedback. Well, here you have this story in Saving Mr. Banks of Walt Disney going after this author to get rights to her book, Mary Poppins, for over 20 years. And then she finally kind of comes to meet with him in Burbank, and she's incredibly crotchety and difficult to deal with. And, you know, you're seeing her backstory during the whole thing, so you understand, I think, a little bit about why she is the way she is. But he puts up with a lot of nonsense from her. And it's not because he just wanted to make another movie that would make money. He felt something about this story. He was passionate about it, and he wanted to make this movie. Did he want to make it so he could make a profit? Sure. But there was more to it than that. And he says that Tom Hanks, you know, says that in the movie, if I was just looking to make another movie, I could have done that without you. You know, it just wouldn't have been Mary Poppins. It would have been something else. So, you know, just another sort of interesting thing to think about. You know, yes, we go to work to make money. Yes, we start businesses to make money. But there's more to it than that. You know, we're all human beings all throughout the day, even when we're at work. And we like to be appreciated. And we like to do things that are good for us and do things that are good for other people and all of that, which is my segue to the CVS story. I'm going to start talking about it now, and we'll keep talking about it, I think, after the next break. But I'm sure everyone's heard this, you know, but if not, that's why we're here for you. We can review. We like to tell you what's going on. So CVS is banning cigarettes from their stores. Now, what that means is they're not going to be selling them anymore. It's not like if you walk in the door with a pack of cigarettes in your pocket, they're going to throw you out. But bans, it just sounds funny when they say bans. CVS bans cigarettes, that's the headline. What it means is CVS, sometime during 2014, is going to stop selling cigarettes. And they're getting a lot of praise for that decision. It's going to cost them, they're going to lose something like $2 billion in annual revenue, which is just a tiny fraction of what they make, believe it or not. Yeah, CVS makes a lot of money. But they're increasingly providing healthcare services like walk-in clinics. They do prescription drug coverage. It's CVS Caremark is the name of the overall company. And, you know, so they decided, again, a non-money decision. In fact, the opposite of a good money decision, you know. But they decided that their philosophy is to make people well. And smoking cigarettes does not make people well. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here because if you are saying, CVS, that you only want to sell things that are good for people, then shouldn't you stop selling Coca-Cola and candy? Just a question. I'm just saying. You know, Coca-Cola, no one can argue that it's good for you. And candy, while it might be good for your soul, is not good for your, you know, bottom line, shall we say. So we'll talk some more about that. We've got another clip that I want to share with you this segment, and we'll come back to the CVS story. But in our third Business Radio X clip for today, I pulled this from a show called Atlanta Business Radio that's over on businessradiox.com. The show's hosted by Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. And this week, it's interesting. It's sort of a, I don't really have a great segue to this clip because it's about crowdfunding. My only segue is that we've been talking about that over the weeks, sort of educating people on what crowdfunding is. And this week they had a guy named Jeffrey Becares on. I think I pronounced his last name wrong, so sorry, Jeffrey. But he's the co-founder and CEO of Spark Market, which is a Georgia-based crowdfunding platform. So take a listen to what he says.
When you think crowdfunding, first of all, I think I should say this. We're in a very early stage of crowdfunding. Right now, it's kind of, I always say it's akin to when people think Kleenex. They think Kleenex is tissue. It's synonymous. And right now, crowdfunding for most people is Kickstarter. So that's a form of crowdfunding. That's donation-based or reward-based crowdfunding. But the in general, when we think crowdfunding, I like to take everyone to Sunday. Just think about going to your church and passing around the pan or whatever it is, and you make your donations to the church, and the church has a purpose for that money, and you're all contributing for that sole purpose. And that's what crowdfunding is. It's taking small donations of capital, accumulating it for a single purpose, and you know, acting on that accordingly. How it differs from traditional capital is we're taking out what I call gatekeepers, or we're taking out the banks. We're taking out institutions. We're essentially relying on each other to form capital and put it to use for a variety of purposes. I think it's important, you know, what we do at Spark Market, people think small business and they think equity crowdfunding, and, you know, that's a different kind of crowdfunding. I mentioned donation reward-based crowdfunding, and what we do is equity crowdfunding as well as donation and rewards crowdfunding. But when people think the sort of crowdfunding we do, they think return on investment. They think of that as a primary motivation for people to crowdfund. I contend that it's participation. They want to be a part of something that's cool. It doesn't exist, sounds cool. I want to be a part of it, and I want to tell people that I'm a part of it.
All right, so that was Atlanta Business Radio on businessradiox.com. And Marcus, that wasn't actually Jeff, the co-founder. That was Marcus talking, Marcus Kennedy, their marketing person. And Marcus was saying in that clip, he fed right into today's theme for the show, because he was saying people don't invest at that small level, in that crowdfunding level, because they are going to get a huge return on investment. They invest because they want to be a part of something cool. They want to participate. So there again, it's not always about the money. Sometimes it is, and we all like the money. I go shopping in the mall, and I think, God, I wish I had more money. I mean, I think most of us do. But it's not always about that. There are bigger things. There are being part of being something cool. There's being appreciated, all kinds of different things that kind of factor into what we do and why we do it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More on the CVS story and AOL and, yes, the soapbox coming up right after this. Stay with us. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and Mike Roy is, you know, still here. So there's that. He hasn't left. He's still pushing the buttons and keeping us live on the air, which is a beautiful thing. You can call us 404-231-1190.
You don't need me. You have a button over there to put yourself on the air if you really wanted to.
I would just mess it up. Let's face it. I would just mess it up. You can call us 404-231-1190 or tweet us at Dana H. Barrett is my Twitter handle, or use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. Okay, before we get back onto the CVS story, I love my show. This is like the highlight of my week. I love coming in here and talking to you all and sharing all these stories, but I get overly excited and I have too much to talk about, and then we run out. Time is over, and anyway, okay, listen to this. So Radio Shack, who I have used as an example many times, because there's something about Radio Shack that I just love. Well, I don't know if you caught their Super Bowl commercial, which was totally awesome. Yeah. The 80s called, they want their store back, and Mary Lou Retton and Hulk Hogan and
Cliff Clavin,
Cliff Clavin and Alf go running in and dismantle the Radio Shack store. Well, obviously what they're saying is we're rebranding, we're going to make things better. But then sadly, a couple days after the Super Bowl, they also announced that they're closing 500 stores. Now, don't get too worried because they have 4,300 stores, so 500 is not that many. And I'm sure that they're closing their, you know, least productive locations and things like that. They, a couple years ago, they tried to kind of use cell phones as a way to bring increase revenue and bring sort of business back into the stores. And it didn't really help all that much. So they're looking to kind of do something else. I hope they don't change their name, because I've used them as an example of a store that hasn't changed their name and have just managed to stick around with a name that is basically completely antiquated, but that I love. I mean, really, radios and shacks, both things we don't really want anything to do with anymore. Like, I think a lot of kids today probably don't even entirely know what radio really is. I'm sorry, we're on it.
We're on it right now.
Yes, but, you know, it's like they listen on their iPhone. They're not actually listening on an old-fashioned radio anymore, right? You know, they're listening on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio and all these other places, right? And on their interwebs and all that stuff. But we love radio here. Therefore, we must love Radio Shack. Just saying. Anyway, I hope they can find something that will, because I do go to Radio Shack a couple times a year at least, which probably isn't enough. But, you know, when I need a little piece or part or widget or connector or whatever, I go there. So maybe, I don't know. It's like they just need to be like a mini Best Buy, you know? They need to have like, I don't know. I wish I could help them because I'd like them to stick around. So my fingers are crossed that Radio Shack pulls through. All right. Also, before we get back to CVS, just a quick note about AOL. I promised I would talk about it. So their CEO is apologizing, Tim Armstrong, apologizing for his comments and actually reversing a decision to cut 401k benefits. They were doing a 401k matching. They said they weren't going to do that anymore because the cost of health care had gone through the roof, both because of Obamacare. He wouldn't have gotten in trouble for that. But then he said, because of two babies who were high risk, had problems, whatever, and cost the company $1 million, lots of women really upset by those comments because that was sort of inappropriate. I mean, there are a lot of people, men and women, who have cancers that cost a lot of money. There's a lot of, you know, men and women both who have obesity and diabetes and all those things that are costing the company money. So why single out women and motherhood and babies? Really bad decision on his part. A lot of women up in arms over those comments, and rightfully so. It was a stupid thing to say. He apologized, and the AOL employees were also so irritated about not getting their 401k. They weren't going to take away the matching, by the way. It had been monthly, and he was going to switch it to yearly, which meant that if you quit in the middle of the year, you wouldn't get any of the matching. And so he put it back. Now it's back to monthly again. So, I mean, in fairness to him, he listened to what was said, and he apologized, and he changed the plan back. Okay. I'm just putting that out there for you to think about. I have nothing else to say about it. Back to CVS and the cigarette situation. So CVS is going to stop selling cigarettes, and they're going to lose $2 billion. And they are okay with that because they've decided it's the right thing to do for their brand. I think drugstores are an interesting, or pharmacy, I don't even know what we would call them anymore, drugstores, pharmacies, because the thing is, they're more than that, right? Yeah. They've sort of become convenience stores. And so they're in that weird space where, you know, a convenience store sells you things that you need to get conveniently, like a pack of cigarettes or Coca-Cola.
And that seemed kind of gradual to me. I don't remember, but it seems like CVS used to specifically be a pharmacy, and it's kind of expanded out into convenience.
I think all of them have done that, right? And in some ways, convenience stores, you know, like CVS's and convenience stores are like little mini grocery stores too, right? Like you can buy milk and you can buy, you know, so... them focusing on health is just an interesting thing because they should be focusing on health. I mean, that's the main core of their business. So I appreciate that they're giving up the cigarette selling on the one hand. On the other hand, are they going to give away too much business? Because I think, you know, obviously part of the reason stores sell things that are not their core products is A, to make more money at the register, right? If you go into a CVS, all that candy, they have an aisle with candy, but then they also have all that candy right by the register. So even if you didn't come in to shop for candy, you came in to pick up your prescription, you're like standing in line waiting, boy, that Reese's cup looks good, and you buy it, right? So you have that last minute, you know, spur of the moment decision at the register, right? So that's one reason they sell products that are not their core business. And another reason, of course, is to bring people in. So if I'm a smoker, I don't necessarily stop at a CVS, but now, hey, I CVS sells cigarettes, I'm going to go in there and grab some. And while I'm here, I'm going to buy the candy bar and the Coca-Cola and a pack of tissues. And, oh, yeah, I need some dishwashing detergent. So I'll just get that all while I'm here. So they're not only going to be losing that cigarette sale, but they're potentially going to be losing all those other sales that that cigarette smoker was buying. Because now that guy or girl is going to be stopping at Walgreens or the convenience store or whatever. So it's an interesting choice. And I do wonder also about if it means anything societally. Like, are we going to see more companies following suit? Are we going to see more companies saying, you know what, I don't think we want to sell cigarettes either because that's not who we are? I mean, let's face it. You can buy cigarettes at the grocery store, but you can't buy them at Whole Foods. And you can buy Coca-Cola at the grocery store, but you can't buy it at Whole Foods because it's not good for you. Not that everything at Whole Foods is like 100% good for you, but they do focus on, you know, products that are healthy, organic, you know, locally grown, locally made. I mean, they have a very tight, you know, theory about what they're doing. And CVS didn't really have that. They were kind of loosey or goosier, right? And so
CVS may have started a precedent here because it seems to me cigarettes have become less and less accepted in the last 10, 15 years gradually.
I agree.
Mean, in certain places, you can't even smoke outside.
I agree.
I don't know. They may have started something here.
I agree. And listen, I'm a former smoker, so I can totally see both sides of this. I understand the desire to smoke. If they could find a way to make it good for you and smell good, I would be doing it till my dying day.
Yeah.
If it wasn't bad for you.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I gave it up, and I'm happy that I gave it up. I feel better. It's all good.
Yeah.
However, I do see both sides of the argument. You know, this is a quote-unquote free country, and we should be able to make our own decisions. So if I want to put something poisonous into my body, I should be able to do it. So somebody, hopefully somewhere, will sell cigarettes to those people that want to buy them, I guess. Or maybe I should just hope that the whole business kind of fades away and dies and people stop smoking altogether because it's bad for you and it's killing you and it's a little stinky. So, you know, if you want to stink less, you should smoke less. Just saying. All right, I left only 2 minutes in the show, but I got to bring up a quick soapbox. So this week, I paid off a credit card, a big, big balance I had, and I paid it off. Woohoo! Where are the sound effects when you need them, Mike Roy? I know you weren't ready. It's my fault. So listen to what happened. Was great. So listen to what happened. So I paid off this credit card over many years, and it's a credit card I've had since 1988, something like that, Bank of America. I mean, not the big debt since 1988, but I've had the card a really long time, and I have a really big credit line on that card and all of that. So now it's zero balance, and I get my bill yesterday, and there's a $1.50 charge on it because I don't pay enough interest. Yeah. Bank of America charging me $1.50 because I have a zero balance and I'm not paying enough interest. Now, on the one hand, I kind of understand, like, okay, fine, you make your money on interest and I have an account and I'm not paying interest, so maybe you have some overhead you need to cover, whatnot, and wherefore. But here's the thing. I've been a good customer for 20-something years and I have paid them a lot of money in interest because, of course, they're constantly screwing you on the interest rate and the late fees and the whatever. They should have played the hallelujah chorus and sent me a congratulations letter for paying off my debt. Because you know what? That's good for me. And that's what we should all be striving for as, you know, people living with debt. Instead, they screw me again with a $1.50 charge per month. Somehow I think it would feel less like a yucky move if they just charged an annual fee and I knew that up front and I could make the decision. Because it's really not expensive. You know, if I keep it at a zero balance, it'll be $18 for the year. I can afford it, but I don't like it. All right. On that note, that's our show. We'll be back next week with more headlines, more clips, and more great stuff. Stay with us. Join us then. Have a great day.